Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long the Forsaken.
The Forsaken.
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 Lord, why have you forsaken me? I don't know. I didn't know what to say to that. You threw me off every week.
I'm just introducing myself.
Yeah, every week you have a different nickname.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Long the Forsaken.
Long the Terrible. Long the Impaler.
It is Halloween.
Those are all appropriate.
Yeah,
it's late September. It's not quite October, but it's close enough. We're kicking off our Halloween Horrors Month for 2019. This weekend, because I mean, this episode comes out Monday morning, which is September 30th. So technically, it's basically fucking
October. Close enough.
And it's still hot as shit in Houston.
Yep.
Humid. Close sticking to your fucking balls, sweating and stuff, you know.
Well, at least it's low 90s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's humid as fuck, man.
Yeah, I remember 10 years ago, it used to get colder by now.
Yeah. And mosquitoes,
at least a breeze,
have been awful from that rain we had last week. Not about your house, but man, but the mosquitoes are like, I'm getting blood sucked out of me everywhere, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's October almost, so I guess it's blood sucking season. You know, so fuck it, whatever. You know, but otherwise, how's y'all's week been?
Moist.
Moist. Yeah,
moist.
Really?
Yeah, because the humidity.
Because the humidity.
Yeah, it's Texas.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's horrible, man. I
mean, it's all right.
People don't understand, other than our fellow Texans, like what it's like to have your underwear stick to you and you have to dig it out. It sucks.
Yeah, it does. You get Cool Max underwear.
That's why I wear boxers.
For dudes, it's worse, man, because why wear boxers too?
They
still stick.
They punch up. It's like, really, they just bunch up.
And being dudes, man, you get that chafeness down there, dude.
Yeah.
Because you're fucking.
Okay, that's good enough. Let's move on.
And you have to get Boudreaux's butt paste.
That's right. You know,
the doo doo butter.
Hey, if we're going to talk about humidity, you got to go all out.
Yeah.
Doo doo butter.
Doo doo butter.
But other than that, it's been a good week.
That's good.
Our Astros clinched their playoff berth.
That's right.
So October is hopefully more exciting than just Halloween. Hopefully,
so no wild card, nothing like that.
Nope, it's division winners, third straight division winners. So hopefully, we're chasing another World Series championship.
So, anyone you're nervous about as far as the other team?
I think this team is better than 2017. So I think the Yankees. If we play the Yankees in the second round, they'll give us a good battle. But otherwise, I'm not. I'm pretty confident this year.
How about the National League side?
More likely the Dodgers may make it to their third straight World Series.
They're also,
losing their third straight World Series. You know, and second in 3 years of the Astros. That's what I'm hoping.
That would be awesome.
I'll check back later, halfway through NFL season for the NFL brief. I mean, still too early to talk about it.
Yeah, anyways,
I've watched maybe
teams.
5 minutes of NFL first 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
Like, I just, I don't know. Just, I'm more into baseball right now with the Astros being a little mini legacy going on.
Understandably.
Golden age of Astros baseball right
now. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do watch college football.
Yeah.
As they kicked off.
I did watch the entire World Series from game one on through. Yeah. I think my favorite was, which one was it? Game five,
the one that ended 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
Oh, that was rough.
That was rough, but it kept going back and forth.
That's one of the most incredible baseball games I've ever seen. And not just because the Astros are in it. Just, I watch a lot of baseball. It's one of the best games I've ever watched.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was unbelievable. And I remember everyone was asleep in the house, so I kind of had to keep my excitement toned down so not to wake anybody up, but it was hard.
Did you have to work the next day?
I was on vacation that week.
Oh, that's good.
I'm taking vacation the week of Halloween this year, too, in hopes that we're watching our Astros in the World Series. So,
I'll have to hang out with you on one of those days. We'll watch it.
Well, like I said, if it's a recording night and we get here to record and they're in the middle of a playoff game, we will record once the game is over. Even if it's at 1 o'clock in the morning, David, we're going to do it.
Jesus.
Hey, it's called commitment, man.
Commitment.
You know, to the Astros, to our city, and to the podcast. Right?
Right.
Ouch.
What's ouch?
That's a lot of lost sleep.
That's kind of a weird looking Dragon Ball shirt on.
Yeah.
It's like they're, I don't know, it doesn't look right the way he's behind them. But anyway, that's all I'm going to say.
What's that one meme? It's like day number what without sex? It's like,
I don't think I've seen that
meme. Like pretty provocative.
The only meme I saw this week was Islam was right about women to trigger the folks out there. And anyways,
I don't get it.
Right. Somebody's triggered every week about something.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Halloween Horrors Month.
Woo.
Let's kick kicking off on the show today. That's pretty. We have a spooky story from the evil Dr. Tran later on the show.
It was the check engine light.
I'll give some credit. I think it's inspired by our friends Lindsay and Sam at The Strange, who brought a ghost story on their show, and we've kept that tradition alive a little bit.
Yeah.
Rob Zip gave us a ghost story.
And, I forgot to ask what's his name.
We didn't ask Clint
last week. Yeah, we didn't.
But thank you again to Clint for coming on the show last week. It was fun talking to Hateful Eight.
Yeah.
And to Rob talking Forbidden Planet a couple weeks ago. And to Lindsay and Sam. We've had some cool guests on lately.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, it's been fun.
And let's not forget Miss Heavy Metal.
Oh, yeah.
Winter. Oh, yes.
Winter.
Hopefully having Winter back on the show. Possibly maybe during Halloween month.
Ooh.
I need to text her and say, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, bring your daughter.
What are you wearing? No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding, Eric.
Buzzing.
Yeah. Just kidding.
Just kidding.
Yeah. Kidding. We are kidding.
Kidding.
No.
She'll laugh. She knows
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So let's get into today's show then. We always start talking download this where we tell you what we may have watched, streamed, played this week. And so who wants to go first?
I'll go first. What did y'all watch this week? I saw Bill Burr's stand-up, his latest one from Royal Albert Hall in England, mm-hmm. and it's not as good as his last one, the one where he's in black and white. That one was pretty good, but putting it up against Chappelle's Stick and Stones, it was okay. It was just, eh.
Bill Burr's kind of the same style, but Chappelle is better at it.
I'm like, I know the name, but I can't envision
what he's a Bostonian.
He's the one where he had that stand-up bit that was floating around Facebook where he's like, stay-at-home mom, why is it a tough job?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. He's, he's living the dream.
Yeah, living the dream. The sunshine with the kids.
He was like, Oprah says that being a mom's the hardest job in the world. Really, Oprah? You don't even have any kids. How about the coal miners who have to watch that canary stay alive while they're in the earth digging up coal? Is that so easy compared to motherhood where they have to get up and change the tape for their kids to watch their cartoons? They're living the dream.
Living the dream.
But anyways, I don't subscribe to that way of thinking, by the way.
Yeah. We're just repeating it. It's like I was watching it on Facebook.
That's his best one.
And my wife was like looking at me. I'm like, I'm just watching the video. I want to see what the reactions are. And I was like, it's a joke. And she's just like, triggering intensifies because she's a stay-at-home mom. So
is she? I thought she works.
She donates plasma.
Oh.
Yeah.
But then she works for a golf store?
Yeah, she used to work for Topgolf.
Oh.
Yeah, back in the day. That was cool because then if we wanted to do something like, hey, we go to Topgolf, get some free golf and half-price food.
Stay-at-home moms have jobs.
They do. You
know what I'm saying? They do.
Oh, yeah, they do.
They have
jobs. Yeah. That's
yeah.
Good. That's
yeah.
Good. What else did you watch, Long?
That's it.
That's it?
Yeah. I also shot some my YouTube video on the review on the USS Enterprise aircraft carrier. And I'm after doing that, I was like, I am never going to do more than one model at a time. Because I was doing the Battleship Bismarck and the aircraft carrier's Enterprise. And I'm like, never doing that again. Not doing two models at the same time again.
Nice.
So, too much.
I watched Sleepy Hollow with Ichabod Crane.
Is that the cartoon?
No, that's the one with Johnny Depp.
Tim Burton film?
Yeah,
okay.
Christina Ricci.
Saw the movie.
Because there's also a TV show, Sleepy Hollow, too, isn't there?
Yeah.
A few years back, 2011.
I also watched House. Old 1987 horror movie, and whenever I was a kid, I thought it was kind of scary. Now I notice that everything's just puppets.
Dumb.
Yeah, it's pretty weak.
House.
Yeah,
who's in it?
It's a bunch of no name guys. You have that bartender from Cheers, or there's
House 2 is the best one.
Yeah, they just went super fun with it. The Lost World.
Creep Show hit today on Shudder.
Did it?
I guess it came out today.
Oh, Creep Show. I have Shudder.
Isn't Shudder free?
No.
Oh.
I don't think so. I had to use someone else's account.
You have
Shudder? I have someone else's password, an aunt of a mutual friend of ours. And then I watched the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. the one that was way over the top. In fact, the poster. That's the one with Dennis Hopper. The renegade policeman.
For some reason, I always remember that one. I don't know why. I guess it's because of Hopper.
Because of Hopper.
You know, he's like really crazy in it.
Yeah. And then there's like that. And
that's a pretty big name for a horror movie, too.
It really is. And then I watched Scream 2. That's the one with Liv Schreiber, Sarah Michelle Gellar. You had
Courtney Cox.
Courtney Cox came back.
I hardly remember anything.
Skeet Ulrich.
The first one.
Yeah, Skeet Ulrich. Jamie Kennedy came back.
Oh, a bunch of people that you wonder what happened to all of them. Yeah. Honestly.
And then what else? Jada Pinkett Smith is in it at the beginning. People forget about that.
Yeah.
Heather Graham's in it.
Yeah.
Luke Wilson. Mm-hmm. Luke Wilson's in it. There's like a lot of cameos. Like they threw.
You have all this.
Is Wes Craven still alive?
No, Wes Craven passed away a couple years ago.
Oh, okay. And I watched Freddy vs. Jason
because
it's free.
I'm sorry.
Hey, man, it starts out with a girl getting naked.
I wanted that movie to be so good, and it was so bad.
Mm. The beginning's good.
It starts out okay.
Yeah. I only watched the last 15 minutes of that one.
I mean, it's a fun cheese flick, but it just... Remember they hyped it up? Like, the trailer came out, like, in 99.
Yeah.
Like, the teaser. And then the movie got pushed back, 2 years? It came out, 2001, finally.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just... It had all kinds of production problems and just... They basically made it up as they went along. They didn't really have a script. You know, Robert Englund talked about it, they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah.
You know,
A movie without a solid script is always a bad call.
That same actor also did, that played Jason, did Hatchet. He was in Hatchet, all three Hatchet
Hatchet's
movies.
Is a cult favorite, I think. Yeah. The first one, at least, I know.
Yeah, the first one.
My roommate's a big fan of it.
Yeah?
Yeah, Hatchet and Ginger Snaps.
But I think that's it. I think that's it. Had a nice run of horror movies get me started. All the free ones, of course, on Prime.
You're a braver man than me.
Yeah, I am. I haven't watched a lot this week, but you did remind me. I did sit down and watch Russell Brand's Rebirth on Netflix. Stand up. I like Russell Brand. I know it's been out a while, and I just sat down. I was like, I felt like watching. I do like comedy.
I reminded you. I reminded you. I don't remember talking about.
Well, by mentioning you watched the stand-up, it reminded me that I
watched. Okay.
He doesn't reside in a specific Texas city, does he?
Who?
Russell Brand.
I don't know.
Okay, I'm just wondering.
He's British, so I doubt he resides in Texas.
I know he's always on Joe Rogan's show. Does he live in L.A. or something?
I don't know.
Probably.
I think he's funny for being, I don't know, I always thought. So I do like to laugh. You always give me a hard time about not liking comedy, but I think Russell Brand's pretty
You have funny. A very specific taste in comedy.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. There's certain things I like.
You know what? As long as you like Naked Gun, you're tops in my book.
Yeah.
There you go. What about Surf Ninjas?
I don't remember seeing that movie. Is that the one with Leslie Nielsen?
Yes. As the samurai?
Nah, I'd rather watch Dracula Dead or Loving It.
Yeah.
And just continued with Cowboy Bebop, still watching that.
That's right.
How many episodes now?
I'm probably halfway through. It's 24 episodes. Yeah. I think I'm halfway through it. I've really been kind of just enjoying that.
At your own pace?
Some people could burn through 24 episodes really fast, but for me, I've just kind of been really enjoying it. There's been a couple of episodes that have commentary tracks on them, so I've rewatched the episode with the commentary track, and it's good stuff. And and then my son continues to watch Dragon Ball all the time.
Yes.
Matt, for getting him obsessed with that.
You're welcome.
And
do they have their own separate TV, or is it just...
Just down here. I haven't put a TV in their room yet. I've been thinking about it.
I have a 50-inch TV that's sitting in my extra room, and it keeps shutting off after 10 minutes.
After 10 minutes.
So I don't know what's wrong with it.
Yeah.
It's bad capacitor.
They're not even worth fixing nowadays, these TVs. It's just cheaper to replace them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, because the parts almost cost as much as the TVs do.
Parts and labor.
Yeah. But yeah, so I didn't watch a whole lot this week. I'll have to do better this coming week. It's that time of the year, though. There's not a lot of new stuff, but there's some stuff I'm looking forward to coming out, which I'll talk a little bit about in the news later. A couple of things are hitting.
Yeah.
So, but let's get into today's feature. Officially kicking off Halloween Horrors 2019. And that's the fancy name I came up with for the same thing we called it last year.
Fright Night! Remember that, Astroworld?
I was going to call it Halloween Horrors 2, but then I was like, let's call it 2019. It works.
Should call it the Horror of Horrors.
The Horror of Horrors.
The Horrors of Horrors. Anyway, sorry. What's on my brain tonight? Yeah.
Something on Bissonnette or something.
Something, I don't know. Yeah. But, today's flick, man. I got my thoughts right here.
Monster Squad.
The Monster Squad.
What we were supposed to watch?
Yeah.
No, I'm joking. I saw it.
And, this is a movie that I grew up kind of remember watching on Saturday matinees a lot. I always liked this film. We talked about doing it last year during Halloween, and it wasn't as accessible last year. That's why we didn't do it.
Yeah.
I had it on Blu-ray, but it suddenly in the last year has gotten it's always had a cult following. But in the last year, it started to get a new generation with a cult following because it showed up on Amazon Prime. It was on Hulu for a while. It had a re-release on Blu-ray. There's a documentary currently playing in some theaters called Wolfman's Got Nards.
Yes.
Which documents the cult of this film and the cult status of it. So the Monster Squad is becoming, I don't know if relevance works. I don't know if the movie was ever relevant. But its cult status is gaining popularity again. And so I've seen this movie several times over the years. When I bought the Blu-ray re-release last year because the 25th anniversary Blu-ray is super expensive. So they re-released it last year at a cheaper Blu-ray. And I was excited to have the film and show it to my children because it's something I grew up watching. And I don't know when the first time y'all saw it. I have a feeling y'all probably both watched it for the first time this week.
Before we get to that, let's summarize the plot so people would remember.
Yes.
Yeah. I did a summary last week. Well, you do it.
Ignore the part where Van Helsing just disappears and you don't know where he goes.
Yeah.
You don't find out until the end.
Yeah.
And you got to draw a conclusion.
Yeah, it all starts out in the beginning of, 1700s, Transylvania. Mm-hmm. So a bunch of monster hunters are trying to defeat Dracula, but they couldn't do it. So they got sucked into some mysterious vortex.
Yes.
After limbo. Failing in limbo. And cut to modern day. And
100 years later,
yeah, literally,
is it
just boom? Oh,
100 okay, years. 100 years later,
mm-hmm.
Okay. And some kids are getting picked on, but what's the name of the lead kid's name?
Sean,
yeah, thank you. That sounds like the name of the Goonies leader from Sean Astin,
but Sean very Astin. Inspired by Goonies,
yes,
yeah, very inspired by Goonies. But, anyways, there's a World War II plane carrying Frankenstein and Dracula for some weird reason. And the coffin that contains Frankenstein crashes into a swamp. And the swamp happens to have the creature from the Black Lagoon in there.
Mm-hmm.
And
but for some reason, they strangely call Gilman.
Yeah, yeah, Gilman.
Is it a Universal creature movie?
It is, isn't it?
It was put out by Touchstone Pictures, but remember, a lot of these characters are public domain, so these other studios could use it.
In fact, the plane that you were talking about had Browning listed on it, which is a reference to the original. By the
Dracula director.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I wonder if TriStar is a Universal subsidiary. It might be.
No, it's a Sony subsidiary.
Okay.
Now it is. Why. I know it's under the Columbia umbrella.
Right.
Okay.
And Columbia is owned by Sony.
Right.
So, anyways, so all these classic horror movie monsters are gathered, and
the Monster Avengers.
The Monster Avengers, basically. Thank you. And Dracula sends the Frankenstein monster to go retrieve a book from one of the kids who I forget how they got the
Amber?
Their hands on
it. Or no, what's
her, is it they Amber? Got a book
and an amulet too,
and the amulet to send the monsters back to where they came. But needless to say,
Dracula needs an amulet for ultimate powers so he can take over the world.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, flip the world into darkness.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Frankenstein monster befriends Sean's little sister,
mm-hmm.
and he becomes friendly with the Monster Squad kids.
Yeah.
And they go to Dracula's mansion. And Frankenstein's monster gets buried under some rubble.
Mm-hmm.
Wolfman got kicked in the nards.
Yes.
Got kicked in the nards by one of the kids who were trying to escape from the mansion. Big showdown between Sean's cop father
and the rest of the Monster Squad.
And the rest of the Monster Squad. Man, this is hard to summarize.
Yeah.
This movie was all over the place.
It really was.
You know, and
and that's why, you know, it's a cult following and not a blockbuster.
Yeah. In the end, all the monsters get taken out by humans, which is why I was like thinking, why do you need the vortex in the first place if you're killing all these monsters?
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, the local police force is fighting the monsters and Dracula is coming after the little girl who's reading the amulets, the scriptures from the book from the local German dude.
Yeah.
And
because it has to be a virgin to read it.
Yeah, she has to be a virgin to read it. And Vortex appears, sadly sucks away the Dracula and the Frankenstein. And the movie ends, and the kid says, "We're the Monster Squad," kind of in a cringy way.
This movie has a lot of 80s cheese in it.
Yes.
But I think that's what gives it its charm.
Yes.
Yeah.
So was this the first time y'all watched it?
No.
No.
Y'all had seen it before?
I saw this when I was in second grade in elementary.
Nice.
And I remember laughing so hard at the Monsters Got Nards scene as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen it since.
Yeah.
And rewatching it again, I was like, my nostalgic goggles are not holding up very well. It's like, I really liked this movie as a kid, you know. But it's a fun movie for kids, for sure. Yeah. You know, I can understand, you know. But how were you, Matt? Did you like it as a kid?
Yeah, sixth grade for me, I think. Yeah. And then I didn't see it for a while until, like, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And then I've seen it, like, at least once a year, I think, for the past 3 or 4 years. But, yeah, you mentioned, you know, finding it cool as a kid. I felt like you could market this to any audience. You could market it to adults because of the jokes. You could market it to teens because of the situations the teen kids were in, and then you could market it to kids because of the major underlying theme.
Boy, Sean was so bossy, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah,
he was a little bossy little snot.
Yeah, well, I
kind of like Mark.
No, the nostalgic goggles, as you said. I get that with some movies. Like for me, this movie.
Does it hold up for you?
Yes, it does. I still love this movie a lot. And I think it might be, in some way, subconsciously, is the reason I like Universal Monsters, is maybe because I watched this as a kid.
Yeah.
Where I have other 80s flicks, and y'all might sacrifice me for this, but, like, I don't like Back to the Future as much as I did when I was a kid. I like Part 3, the Western one, but, like, Part 1...
That is weird.
Like... Part one, like,
people don't like Part 3 as much.
I see the weirdness now, like with his mom and stuff in Part 1, and it weirds me out.
The sexual stuff.
I don't like it as much as I can, but like this, I really like. And now, before someone jumps my balls in the podcast, I'm not saying this is a better movie than Back to the Future. I get that Back to the Future is a better movie.
Yeah.
But if I'd probably watch this over Back to the Future. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, this holds up for me. I really enjoy this movie. I've showed it to Michael and Wyatt, and they like it. You know, so it holds up for them. And luckily, some of the virgin jokes and stuff go over their head. They don't really know what all that means. And I guess as a kid, I never noticed that either. As I'm older and I watch this, I'm like, wow, there's a lot of, like, kind of sexual undertones.
They curse a lot.
What do you mean, no?
For an 80s flick.
Steve doesn't count.
Yeah. And, a lot of calling whores fat kid.
Yes, know? All the time.
Like, you can't fat shame people nowadays, but they call him fat kid constantly.
The entire film.
And sadly, the actor,
even his friends.
Whores, he passed away in 97
from
pneumonia at 22 years old. And he was a popular child actor, that kid played whores.
Yeah.
I remember him always popping up in like 80s stuff and things like that. And but I like this movie. I think it's fun. It's a fun flick. It's directed by Fred Decker, who's a writing partner of Shane Black. And Shane Black helped write this, who went on.
Yep.
He was in Predator. He went on to direct Iron Man 3, write the Lethal Weapon films.
Yep. And the new Predator film.
Yeah, and the new Predator film was directed by... Well, did Shane Black direct the new... Yeah, he did direct the new Predator film.
And Nice Guys.
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
You also have Tom Noonan in here.
Tom Noonan plays Frankenstein.
What's the big deal with Tom Noonan?
Tom Noonan's played a lot of bad guys. He was the Grim Reaper in Last Action Hero. He played the bad guy in RoboCop 2, who gets his brain put into the... robot and all that. So he
that's
was
some
known
deep
for,
cut actor. I don't even know who that was.
If you're real into like cult films like this, a lot of people know who Tom Noonan is because he played a lot of like. I mean, he's still around. He still acts. He was in something real recently. I remember, but he plays a lot of like kind of creepy characters. Noonan was always known for that.
Yeah,
had that face that could do makeup well and play these characters like that. And he plays Frankenstein monster in the Monster Squad.
Even though this director is tied to Shane Black, though, it's like his most notable work is what, Star Trek Discovery or Star Trek Genesis films, and then he did RoboCop 3. So it's he really didn't have much to hang his hat on before this film. But it did, like you said, it became something that was a household name after a failed launch, really, mainly because of marketing. And like we said earlier, who do you really market it towards? Yeah. You know, do you market towards kids, adults, teens? But you know, it definitely found its way through home video, and it's been gaining a cult following ever since. You know, you can see it on Prime.
House that you watched, he helped write. He didn't write it, but he helped with the story on House.
Fred okay.
Decker. He did some Tales from the Crypt episodes, RoboCop 3, Night of the Creeps, which was also a big cult status film. But yeah, I know you're right. They tried to market it as a...
Night of the Creeps is the one with the slugs, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They tried to market it as a Goonies, monster style, and they didn't know how to sell it. The movie came out in August, too, which was kind of weird. You know, why put a movie out in August? It's kind of a Halloween-type movie. So they didn't know when to release this thing. And back in the 80s, August is a death sentence for a film.
Yeah.
You know, nothing was coming out then. You know, it wasn't like it is now where you have blockbusters throughout the year.
Yeah.
No one was going to the movies in August, so they didn't know what
they to do. They still don't.
No. Yeah, August except is still for the one Meg. Of the most dead. Or maybe early August. The but Meg. Once you get past the first week of August. Yeah, and so the movie suffered from just bad timing. What year did this come out?
1987.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine
That's like that. That's a big year for horror movies. Think about 1987.
The studio got involved. They made Decker cut the film down by about 15 minutes because they didn't want it longer than an hour and a half because they felt it was a kid film. They mm-hmm. wanted to lose people's attention span. They cut the budget down. They had a whole intro sequence of Van Helsing that was going to be a bigger battle than the small one we got, but they said they cut it because of budget reasons. It would have cost almost as much as the film to film that.
Yeah.
So that was another thing they cut from the scene. You know, a more epic battle towards the end of the film, so they had to scale all that down.
Yeah.
So there are some changes that were made to this movie that may have caused it to not be the hit it was. But I think the movie still comes together pretty well.
I thought the pacing of the epic battle was done pretty well.
Yeah. Some stuff in there, like you mentioned earlier, why does a shotgun take out Gilman? And then, you know, you have Wolfman exploding into a million pieces and he just regenerates like he's Piccolo from Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
And I think the effects work is good in this film.
Yeah, yeah.
The Wolfman looks good.
Stan Winston designed the monsters.
Duncan, what's the actor's name?
Yeah.
Duncan Rager, who plays Dracula.
Yeah.
I mean, this is considered a great Dracula performance.
That like, dude is 6 foot five. It's made
list of like being a great Dracula performance. Yeah. And yeah. Stuff. You know that. In fact, the little girl played Phoebe. They wanted her scared to be natural, so he wasn't allowed to wear his fangs and contacts around her because it scared her. So when he put him in for that scene at the end where she screams, that scream is real. It scared her.
Wow.
In the movie, because he hated it because he loved kids and he didn't want to scare her, and he felt really bad about scaring her and had to apologize.
Didn't sound
for
like
everything.
It. Shut up, you bitch.
Right? You know, it just shows you the job of being an actor. He's like a little kid, a bitch in this movie.
And then at first, it's like she's calling her brothers chicken shits, and then I'm like, man, this girl's got a mouth. And then this guy's like, you bitch. And I'm like, man, dude.
And Liam Neeson was almost Dracula.
Really?
Yes. He couldn't commit to the role, so they were going to give him a smaller part. He couldn't even do that. He actually got paid for this film, even though he didn't appear in it.
Wow.
Yeah, Liam Neeson actually got paid for
this. Is he credited in it?
No, he's not credited, but he got paid for a small part that he was never able to film.
That would have been funny if he was credited too.
The Dracula actor, he's 6 foot five.
Wow, 6'5".
He's pretty tall.
That's like Tom Noonan. Tom Noonan's really tall, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It tells you that I don't watch very many cult movies because I didn't know who Tom Noonan was.
Well, just like even Fred Decker, unless you know who Shane Black is, most people haven't heard of him.
Yeah,
he's very much a cult director. You know, he's got talent. You know, this is a decent film. Night of the Creeps, from what I remember, is a decent horror film. But then he made RoboCop 3, which is absolutely terrible.
Yeah,
you know, you had RoboCop flying and fighting ninjas. Like, how do you go from that?
Ninjas. And then you didn't even have Peter Weller, right? Peter Weller wasn't in 3.
No, he wasn't in RoboCop 3.
Yeah.
That was a different actor. And, you know, and Decker, I think he helped him write Predator, too, also. And Predator didn't turn out very good, though.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the new Predator?
I did. Yeah, it didn't flow like the... I mean, it was better than the Alien versus Predator movies we got, I think.
Did you ever watch the Predator movie with Adrian Brody? And Lawrence Fishburne?
No.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that one a lot.
You haven't seen that? Predators?
Predators.
Danny Trejo is all filmed in Austin.
Yeah.
Maybe. Was that the one when they come up to the ruins and stuff?
No.
Yeah.
Is it?
There's some ruins.
Yeah, it's like the history. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a long time though. I saw it once.
It's a good movie. I like that one a lot. But yeah, I mean, it was okay. I give it a C plus.
C plus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I give it a. I think I give it a B.
I didn't really enjoy it though.
I think I give it a solid B.
I'll probably give it a B minus if I had kids to watch it with.
I give this a B plus.
Oh,
B plus.
That's a fun movie.
Yeah,
I enjoy it. It just brings back a lot of memories for me, I guess. And I like this film.
Wolfman's Got Nards, man.
Yeah, Wolfman's Got Nards. Everybody remembers that scene. I want to watch the documentary, but it's been out for like a year now. But I guess it's doing a rolling theater thing, so it's still playing in theaters and stuff. And I imagine eventually it's going to hit Prime or Netflix or something. Most of these rollout documentaries usually do hit the streaming sites eventually. And the documentary's actually got really good reviews. It's directed by the kid who plays Sean. He put together a documentary based on the cult status of this film and its fans and everything over the years and how the film has garnered, you know, a following through home video. I probably rented this a few times, too, thinking about home video. Because some of our kids are never going to know what it was like to go in the store and find a videotape.
Yep.
I'm sure I rented the Monster Squad quite a few times. You know, one of my mom and dad, can we rent this again, you know, for the fifth time? Yes, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times did I rent Transformers the movie back when I was a kid? Probably 25 times.
Yeah. Oh, Superman 4, huh? Yeah.
Superman 4.
Nuclear Man.
Yeah.
But
I didn't think it was bad back then.
Did you have a favorite scene of this movie, though?
I would say, I'll go with the end. Whenever Frankenstein is being pulled into the tunnel, and then you know the girl throws him her teddy bear. Let's go with the sentimental one.
Sweet
A nice touch.
Wolfman's Got Nards.
I like that scene. Wolfman's Got
Nards. But I think the scene between freaking Dracula goes up to the cop's house. And friggin' has a stick of dynamite. He throws it into the treehouse. like straight up. He's
gonna take out all the kids and the stick of dynamite.
He killed the black dude, the black cop. And I'm like, man.
With the
dynamite under the... He was always... his partner was always like, monsters, they don't exist. And he gets blown up, you know.
I like the scene where they go to get Frankenstein out of the water. And, like, you have all the monsters on screen together. I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's kind of an iconic scene to me.
Yeah, it is.
In fact, I have a artwork from
Monster I think that's Quest the first the time since Abbott and Costello meets Frankenstein?
They met. There was a couple of those movies, weren't there? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's Frankenstein meets the Wolfman. That's the first ever monster crossover from the black and white Universal classics. But Abbott and Costello meets... the Frankenstein is when they had all of the monsters on one screen. Mm-hmm. So, you ever seen that? Abbott and Costello meets Frankenstein?
Maybe.
Yeah. I've only seen it once.
We did Frankenstein versus Meets the Wolfman as our Halloween special last year.
Yeah.
What was the Halloween special?
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
I should re-listen to that. Yeah, I was actually going to the model shop, got stuck in traffic, and I put on the Rebel Radio episode about Avengers Endgame. I should have used that as my download this.
Nice.
Yeah.
Listen to our own show that you're on.
Yeah, I do that at times, you know.
Oh, yeah, I listen to our show.
You downloaded another show.
Oh, yeah.
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 I don't know if we can...
Okay. I don't think we can mention it here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I guess that's a hint.
So the Monster Squad, man, I like this movie. And you should, too. Watch it on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Don't listen to Long's C rating.
I don't hate it. It's not a bad rating. Fart. It's a good rating.
It's solid.
A C plus.
Yeah.
It's solid. If I was 10 years old, I'd probably give it an A. But I'm not 10 years old.
Yeah, you're old and stuff.
Old and stuff.
How about you, Matt? What was your score?
B. Solid B.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not everybody can be perfect. It's okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. All right. Well,
my friends abandoned me. Leave me alone.
Since it is Halloween Horror Month, we're going to do some special features every week.
And, heck yeah.
So this week, we're talking our three favorite monsters. And this can be any monster. It can be mythical monsters. It can be movie monsters. I didn't really make rules when I texted y'all.
Yeah.
But I figured y'all kind of knew that.
That was a one-off text, too.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Did we talk about that?
So who wants to go first?
I'll go first. Number three.
I think I know what your number one's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number three is Jaws. Nice. Because that movie scared the bejesus out of me, and I was even afraid to go in the swimming pool because of that movie Jaws, and I was afraid of going to beaches because of that movie as a kid. And Jaws is definitely number one. Plus, he's real. I mean, the shark is. I mean, great whites are real.
That's true.
And they did find a shark called Deep Blue out in the wild. That's about the same length as Jaws in the movie. Because Jaws in the movie is 25 foot, and they did find a 25 foot female great white shark out there.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And number two is Godzilla, of course. We all know about Godzilla. We spent a whole special on it.
That wasn't your number one.
No, number one is actually King Ghidorah, the three-headed dragon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's my favorite. Honorable mention goes to Dracula, because I was a kid, I was obsessed with being a vampire. I used to love wearing a cape and all that. It's the cape, man.
Nice.
But yeah, number one monsters, King Ghidorah, the three-headed dragon from King of the Monsters.
I've got the T-Rex from Jurassic Park.
Yeah, that's a good
as
one.
A kid, you know, I thought that was pretty terrifying, you know. Seeing it on the big, I saw it on the big screen, and it was pretty scary for me, like a little bit, you know, seeing it chase after Jeff Goldblum. And then number two, I've got King Kong.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I went for like what I feel is which like version? The best. I like Skull Island so far.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, because before that, the only Kong I had really seen, like I hadn't seen any old ones.
Classic stories.
I saw the one with Jack Black.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, I guess it was beauty that killed the beast.
You'd be surprised how well the black and white one holds up.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, and in this modern day, yeah. I think you'll be surprised how well made it is.
People still go to see it. It's like they can do Kong all the time. We're going to go see it.
Yeah.
And then number one, like from my childhood, I put It, because technically It was a monster, the original one.
The clown?
He was a spider. It's a big old spider thing. Remember? That was weird. Well, how it ended.
About It Chapter 2? Do you know his final form was?
I haven't seen it. Oh. I'm going to wait till it comes out on... Because I wasn't completely sold on it. You know, I'm really big on the John Ritter one. But apparently it's, you know, it's set a lot of records for, you know, a modern day horror movie.
Wow.
And people are just like, wow, how is this doing so well? It's a rated R horror film. So maybe horror isn't dead.
No, it's not.
Maybe it's not.
It always takes a form.
It's just a Stephen King renaissance right now.
Yeah. 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 Just keep using Stephen King films like The Stand. Stand's going to come out. Yeah. It'll be pretty good.
That's not a movie, though, isn't that?
Well,
be like
the
TV series.
CBS.
Doctor Sleep's coming out.
Yeah. Doctor Sleep?
Yeah. That's the sequel to The Shining.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Same hotel.
He's Ewan McGregor is playing the kid from The Shining.
Okay.
As a grown-up now. Yeah. And you see there's a clip of him staring in the mirror, and you see red rum behind him.
Wow.
Yeah.
My third I talked about this when we did this episode, is Gamort from The NeverEnding Story.
Oh, nice.
He scared me when I was a kid, and I still find him
the wolf?
Creepy.
Yeah.
I think it's still scary, even to this day. The way he, like, his eyes don't move, and he just stares at Atreyu, and I'm like, this guy's really scary. And at number two, I have Godzilla also. I think he's an awesome monster. I'm not as big of a fan as Long is, but I appreciate Godzilla. I've always enjoyed looking forward. I'm really happy that we're getting new modern day Godzilla films, and I hope King of the Monsters does well enough on home video, and that Kong vs. Godzilla next year does well enough that we get more, because I don't want to see it end.
It hit number one for 2 weeks on home video.
Yeah, and then and number one, I just picked werewolves in general. The Wolfman is my favorite Universal movie. I think the idea of a werewolf is kind of fascinating, but also scary as hell. The idea of somebody could change into a wolf. And I think it's a neat concept. So I just pick werewolves in general.
I think the only reason you're high on it is because Uncle Rico was the werewolf in Monster Squad. And he can throw a football over them mountains.
Was that him?
That was Uncle Rico.
From Napoleon Dynamite?
100%, yes.
Fuck, I know he looked familiar.
You can fact check me. It is Uncle Rico is the Wolfman.
I can throw a football over the mountain if I want to.
Yep. So he's dangerous in his wolf form and his human form.
I knew he looked familiar. Yeah, I was like, I've seen that guy somewhere.
Check it out. Uncle Rico, dude.
Looking this shit up, man.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting vetted.
Might be quicker to look it up under that movie.
Oh, look it up under Napoleon Dynamite?
Yeah. I picked King Ghidorah because when I was a kid, it was really freaky seeing a monster with three heads, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, man, how does he decide where to go, where to fly? And he's like shooting lightning out of his mouth.
Which King Ghidorah?
Any version, really. The original 60s version.
John Grise is Uncle Rico.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, John Grise. Or John Grease. Who knows? So, yeah.
Damn it, Matt. You're going to make me look this up.
It's John Grease.
I know. I found him. I'm just like... Got to go all the way back to 1987.
He is credited with...
Desperate Man as Jonathan Grice.
Yep. Desperate Man.
Desperate Wolf Man.
Boom. Called it.
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, motherfucker.
That's right. You could probably tie this man to Kevin Bacon.
He probably can.
He was in Lost, too.
So Lost Boys?
Lost.
Yeah, I knew John Grice was in the Lost TV show. Yeah. I knew that.
For how many seasons?
It is only a couple episodes, if I remember right.
Oh, really?
So that means you can tie him to Matthew Fox.
Must be. He was on that that indie flick. What was it called? Right after Napoleon Dynamite. The Sasquatch.
The Sasquatch?
Something Sasquatch team. He played a sheriff of a town. And it was like a team. There was a Sasquatch sighting or something. And it was Justin Long's in it. And it was a... Okay, movie. What
about. Yeah, I can't think of what the name of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But so that was our favorite monsters. Next week we'll have another special feature for you to tie in with the movie we're doing next week, which we'll tell you what it is later.
Yay!
Let's wait and see because we still have some news to discuss. Yay. Long's got a spooky story coming up for y'all, so don't go anywhere here. I sound like I'm on a radio show. Don't go anywhere here. This is a podcast.
We'll be right back.
But let's talk some news, man. Some big, big fucking huge news broke today. And that is Spider-Man is going to stay home in the MCU for at least one more movie and at least one more appearance in a Marvel film. And it's going to come out July of 2021, the next Spider-Man film. And I think we all knew this was probably going to happen because, as we've talked before, Sony doesn't have a fucking clue as to what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably decided, like, you know what, maybe we should let Disney help us. Disney's going to do 25%, I think is what I read this time, instead of 10%. And 25% profits instead of 10%. So Disney's going to make,
Sony's going to make it.
Or they're going to co-produce. Yeah, Kevin Feige's going to produce the film. So, but this is certainly good news. I felt like, especially after where Far From Home left us with the character, you just felt like at least give us a chance to finish this arc before you take him back, Sony. There's a lot of rumors that the deal also involves Tom Holland to be in both universes, like he might appear in Venom 2. But the deal also might allow for some of Sony's characters to appear in Spider-Man 3. That's just what I'm going to call it for now. When it
sounds like complicated stuff.
Yeah, and I wonder what other Marvel film he'll appear in. That'll be interesting to see.
God.
So.
I hate to be a film director who has to film, like, for the MCU side, what they're allowed to pick or use and what wording. You know, it's like, ugh. Some lawyers probably on set somewhere. So, oh, nope, you can't use that character. Oh, no, you know.
And Tom Watts is the only one I did not realize. Tom Watts is not signed on for the third film yet to direct. Is that his name, Tom Watts?
Yeah, Tom Watts. Yeah. It's definitely not Tom Waits.
Yeah, of course, Zendaya and Tom Holland, they're all signed on. But he does not officially under contract for the third film. But after the success of Far From Home, I imagine they're going to have him back for the third one.
Yeah.
And, let him finish what he's
doing. You know, the importance of directors doesn't seem
as big with the MCU.
Yeah. Unless you're James Gunn.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or the Russo brothers. But everyone else, you just don't remember.
And I'd put Ryan Coogler in that, too.
Yeah, Ryan Coogler. Yeah, he's...
But you're right. I mean, you get, like, Scott Dickerson, who I never even heard of, comes along and does a really good Doctor Strange movie.
Yeah.
Same with Tom Watts. Never knew who he was. Did two good Spider-Man films. So, you're right. It doesn't seem as... Huh?
Wahidi?
Yeah, well, Taika Waititi did have kind of a cult following before he did Thor.
Mm.
But you're right. He wasn't super known when he did Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, made him a household name.
Yeah, made him a bigger name.
Thor Ragnarok was a beautifully shot movie, though.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
It had some really beautiful scenes.
And Ryan Coogler had some success already with Fruitvale Station and Creed. you know, before he did Black Panther.
Black Panther made him even a bigger name.
$800 million,
right?
Almost $700 million just domestically. I mean, Ryan Coogler can pretty much go do whatever he wants now. After that success. So he's a really good director. So we'll see. We've got some casting news on the Batman, which is, of course, Matt Reeves' Batman. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Jonah Hill's joined the cast. And a lot of rumors that he's going to play the Riddler. Sometimes I look at these rumors, I'm like, how does this start? Just because he joins the cast.
I've seen people immediately
assume things.
Yeah.
But
people, you know, I see penguin photoshops of him all the time.
Yeah. I think Jonah Hill is doesn't get enough credit. Yeah. Sometimes people always remember
he's too fat to play Riddler.
Well, people always remember him as the kid from Superbad, but he's actually a really good actor.
Yeah,
you know, if you watch The Wolf of Wall Street or Moneyball or any of these serious films he's been in,
yeah,
he's really good.
Yeah,
you know, and I think it's good casting. I completely trust Matt Reeves with this film. His Planet of the Apes movies are great, so I think he's going to do a really good job. The other rumor is that Jeffrey Wright might play Commissioner Gordon. Now, he's not officially signed on yet, or Jonah Hill's apparently signed on, but I think that's interesting and inspiring, because Jeffrey Wright's really good.
Yeah.
He's a really good actor.
From
he's been in Westworld.
Westworld,
and,
yeah.
He was, he's going to be in the new Bond film, because he was in Casino Royale, so he's been in Bond films before. So
he played the CIA agent, right?
Yeah, in Casino Royale.
Right.
And he's coming back for... I keep forgetting the title of the new Bond film. Something Die. No Time to Die.
Or is it Die Bond. Another Day? I don't know.
Yeah, Tomorrow Never Dies no Another Day.
That was a terrible title.
Now I have to look this up. Looking up a lot of stuff today.
Yep.
Good research, Mark.
No Time to Die, official title of Bond.
There you go. You knew.
I was right.
I'm actually looking forward to that. I want to see who the new 007 is.
Should be getting a trailer soon. Movie comes out in April.
Does it?
Yeah. So I think we'll get a Bond trailer here pretty soon.
Hopefully we'll get a King Kong versus Godzilla trailer soon too.
Yeah.
With Joker release.
Is that coming out in March, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No Star Wars movie next year.
Unfortunately. Nope.
But we have Star Wars news.
Oh.
Yes.
So apparently Kevin Feige is going to develop a Star Wars film.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Kevin Feige is making his own Star Wars movie.
Yeah. They're going to give him clean slate to develop a new film. And so now we still have Rian Johnson's trilogy apparently is still happening. We still have the Weiss and Benioff Game of Thrones guys doing Star Wars films. Mm-hmm. Now Kevin Feige is going to do a Star Wars film. So we have three separate Star Wars films going to be produced here at some point. Apparently. I have a feeling that one of those may end up not happening.
Kevin Feige's going to do a proper Luke Skywalker movie.
Well, because Rian Johnson keeps talking that, you know, he's got his new movie Knives Out coming out. And once he's done with press and Knives Out and everything...
Knives Out looks cool.
Yeah, it does look great.
Yeah.
Apparently he's going full into Star Wars once he's done with all the press for Knives Out. So we'll see, you know, if Johnson's trilogy is still going to happen.
Oh, man. So much vitriol towards him, you know?
Yeah,
I don't really agree with it. It's just a damn movie.
No, I think I like The Last Jedi more and more.
I do not agree with his portrayal of Luke Skywalker. I don't.
Okay.
He was too cynical.
Too cynical?
Yeah.
But I accept it for what it
too
is.
Too browbeaten. Yeah.
So, we'll see. And the other news is Deborah Chow has been brought on to direct the Obi-Wan Kenobi limited series for Disney+. I saw that. And I guess she did a episode of The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And Disney is really happy with it, so they're giving her the reins to do the Obi-Wan series.
Wow.
So, that was the other big news. I'm not sure what she's real well known for, but
we need more Asians directing.
Yeah. Asian power.
Besides being in Asian cinema.
And so, we also got Jurassic World 3 is coming. And they're bringing back Sam Neill and Jeff Goldblum and Laura Dern, all the original people from Jurassic Park. And which is kind of funny because Sam Neill has been telling them no, no, no for 7 years now, ever since they rebooted Jurassic Park and Jurassic World. And they must have wrote him a nice fat check. It's only that I could think. Sam Neill into coming back.
Because even though Lost Kingdom wasn't very praised, it still made a ton of money.
Yeah, made a lot of money at the box office.
Yeah.
And,
that was such an odd one, though.
I think I commented when I shared this on our Facebook group page. I said, as long as it's better than that train wreck of Fallen Kingdom, you know, it should be fun. Cause,
That's what I meant. Fallen Kingdom was a very odd movie.
Yeah, it was all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, And so maybe, you know, with them coming back, it'll be good. I think it's kind of cool. Maybe it brings all the Jurassic films full circle with this, you know, to bring that back. And that's the only other thing I have is in, because I know you guys don't watch, haven't seen it, but there's a new trailer out for El Camino, the Breaking Bad movie. It's coming to Netflix October 11th. I'm super fucking excited to watch this. So you Breaking Bad non-fans in the room, y'all don't know what I'm talking about, because it's the best television show I've ever watched.
I like that show. What are you talking
about? Did you watch it all?
I watched the first three episodes of the first season, and then the very last episode of the show, of the series.
But you haven't seen the whole show?
No.
Blue stuff.
That doesn't count then. Mm-hmm.
I sandwiched it.
Sandwiched it.
60 episodes. He sandwiches one.
I sandwiched it.
It's my favorite show of all time. I'm really looking forward to seeing this movie on Netflix October 11th. It hits, and they released a new trailer this week, and I cannot wait to see that. And so I had to bring that up. El Camino, the Breaking Bad movie, coming to Netflix.
Is Walter White dead?
He's dead, I think. I think you do, and obviously we can serve it. Spoil the show because it's been out for a long time, but I think you do a disservice to him if you'd say he's not dead, because if you follow the show from beginning to end, it was always meant to be a tragedy. So this movie better be just about what happened to Jesse Pinkman
after the show ended, because they didn't really talk about what happened to him.
We need to find out what happened to Jesse. There's no reason to bring Walter back. His story was told in the Breaking Bad show
and closed.
But if they do bring it back, Vince Gilligan is so good that I think that he won't piss off the fans, because if he gives a reason why Walter's still alive, I think he'll do it smartly, because the show is so well written. So.
You know, Vince Gilligan had his start on the X-Files. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the original show.
Oh, man, Breaking Bad. I tell you, Matt, you binge a lot of shows, man.
Yeah.
Watch Breaking Bad, dude. You will love it, man. It is so well done. My brother doesn't... You know my brother. My brother doesn't fucking watch television.
Yeah.
My brother watched Breaking Bad. That tells you it's good. If my brother took the time to watch a show, it's a good show, you know? And they even
is this on Netflix?
Bring it back. Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Okay, I need to catch
Netflix up. Basically bought the rights from AMC, and that's why the movie's coming to Netflix.
That's good.
Yeah, AMC still has the rerun rights to air it on television, but Netflix pretty much kind of owns Breaking Bad now.
That's good.
Okay.
So, yeah, because you know the streaming services are competing, and they need that content, that exclusive content. So.
Yeah, but that's all the news I got. So, is it time for spooky stories to tell in a podcast?
Why, yes, it is. You know? It is.
You see, I stole, you know, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Did you see my wordplay there?
Yes.
Come on, I'm wanting some credit here.
Spooky I didn't stories. Practice reading this story, spooky so I hope I hope I do this story a service. But this first story is written in the first person, and this is a Disney security guard story. So I'm going to start off. I was so excited to get a job at the happiest place on earth. I grew up in Orlando, so my mom took me rather frequently as a young lad, and I was excited I could take mine for free from now on. I got a job as a nighttime security guard. I just had to sit and watch cameras. The parks aren't always empty at night, and I just had to make sure nothing suspicious was going on. That was my job. I was so thrilled. I didn't have to put up with the day shift guards. I didn't have to put up with what day shift guards did. They had to deal with people drunk in Epcot, those feeling entitled because they spent thousands, etc., etc., for the visitors. I remember in training. This guy didn't put any punctuation, so it's kind of throwing me off. I remember in training asking a guard if he's seen anything weird. He told me on the Haunted House Mansion ride, they seen a woman throw her daughter's ashes out. When they confronted her, she truly believed her daughter would be a happy haunt she would see every time she rode the ride. Let me stop now and tell you, you will get caught dumping ashes and won't be happy with what they do to your loved one's remains. The strangest thing I was taught was code 999. Another Haunted Mansion reference. I was taught to use it if you saw something odd, something unexplainable. So that's what code 999 was for, unexplainable things. We usually rotated what parks we would watch. Sometimes certain hotels or even Disney Springs. I got Hollywood Studios last night. I loved being able to patrol the grounds and see how Galaxy's Edge looks. I love how they added Star Wars to the parks, and I could see it away from the horde of tourists. I sat in my office watching cameras with my big mug of coffee they keep for us, and then things got stranger. I checked my watch, and it was 3 a.m. I watched a Mickey casually waltz down the street going towards Rock and Roller Coaster. We never, ever have characters at this time. And plus, most people traveling were gonna use the underground tunnels. I stared in disbelief as I seen Donald Duck walking casually, then Goofy, then Pluto, then multiple characters all going towards this way. My walkie was pure static, and I mumbled, code 999, repeat, code 999. This is Bill in AK. What's going on? Said the voice. And then I asked, why are there characters in the park? All I heard was pure static. My gut told me to wait and just see what happened. Maybe more security comes. Maybe law enforcement. Maybe just let whatever is going to happen, let happen. But I figured I could go solo. My walkie wouldn't get a hold of any other guards in or anywhere. I snuck to a dressing room and found an old Olaf costume from the Seven Dwarfs. I put it on and clumsily walked towards Rock and Roller Coaster. All the noise wasn't there, but where Fantasmic was, typing this out feels so weird. Okay. It wasn't raining, but when I got near the commotion, it started lightning and rain smacked hard and fast. I glanced and seen characters fill benches and seats around the area. On top of a large rock, there stood someone. I sat next to a Minnie Mouse. She turned to me and just stared. Didn't say any words, just stared at me. She turned back and glanced to the stage. The intercom cut on. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, here he is, Mickey Mouse. I watched as characters began to bow and cheer. I tried to do the same so I wasn't noticed. I looked to my right side and a little girl stood next to me cheering. I think she's the ashes that were dumped. Hey, everybody. I was like, hey, everybody. Gee, thanks for coming. I'm sure glad to see you all. I'm trying to do my best, Mickey. Now to business. We got this man here. What's your name, pal? A man tied to a table was carried in by more characters. That was Jerry. He was in training with me. He looked beaten up, bloodied. It doesn't matter. I was like, it doesn't matter what your name is. Ha ha. All right, gang. It's time we offer a new vessel for Walt to dwell in. I think this man may be a good fit. The guard screamed while he was gagged. Mickey lifted the knife to the sky and stopped. He stared at everyone for what felt like an hour. He sniffed. One of you is an imposter. Who is it? Shit, I thought. Listen, pal, we need Walt more than ever, and can't do this with you here. Characters shuffled around in confusion, trying to find me. Then the ghost girl whispered to me, get out. I'm paralyzed in fear. This seems way too freaky. Then my walkie went off. 10-4, code 999, on the way double. My walkie gave me away. I turn around expecting to be mauled by characters, but everyone's gone. I'm all alone in the stands. Except that Mickey on stage is now walking towards me, fast with his white gloves stretched towards me. His eyeballs are missing. I must have run faster. This last part. I gotta find Jerry. He's gotta be somewhere, and the story ends.
That was recent in Star Wars Galaxy's opening.
Yeah. So wow. I kind of want to start off with a interesting Disney story, but I think it's fictitious from... Yeah.
Well, there have been rumors of a lot of like Disney being haunted over the years.
But yeah. Still. Cult ritual?
Remember Disney's Magic Kingdom? Maybe there's something to that haunted mansion that you have to go through.
Oh, yeah. Are you talking about in Anaheim or...
What was the first one that was made?
California, Anaheim.
Yeah, someone in California then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember playing that game, and you had to go through the ghosts and the
haunted mansion.
Haunted mansion.
So, anyways, what you guys think of that story?
Look at Mickey Mouse the same again.
Yeah.
We need Walt more than ever.
Yeah.
Kind of creepy. That was a good one. Good job.
Thank you.
Good job. Long.
Thank you. I don't think that's a real account, though.
Spooky stories to tell on a podcast.
I'll have a personal one next week.
All right. Looking forward to it.
Nice.
And speaking of next week, let's preview next week's movie as Halloween Horrors 2019 continues. We're going to go quite different from today's film as we talk a modern horror classic. I would give this movie that credit because it's brought in kind of a new age of zombie-like films. Cause
yeah.
You know, 28 Days Later.
Travel during daylight, unless you've got no choice.
This really is a bad idea. You know why? It's obviously a bad idea.
We have to leave now. More will be coming. They always do.
The dead. And you're gonna be next.
Directed by Danny Boyle. This film, the first time I saw it, really was pretty fucking creepy, man.
Yeah.
It's still a creepy movie. Really well shot. lower budget, kind of an independent film in a ways. It put Danny Boyle had done some films, but I would say this kind of put him on the map.
Did he do Slumdog Millionaire?
Yeah, we ended up going on to do Slumdog Millionaire, winning an Oscar for that. This introduced Cillian Murphy to a lot of people. This was one of his first roles.
Mm-hmm.
A really, really good, I don't even know if you call it a zombie film, because it's a rage virus.
Yeah.
They're sort of like zombies. Just a solid horror film.
Was this done before or after Sunshine?
Before
Sunshine.
Newer.
Okay.
Yeah. So it should be good. Have y'all seen it? You've seen it before, huh?
Yeah.
I've seen bits and pieces.
Yeah. And even the sequel is good. The sequel wasn't directed by Danny Boyle, he produced it, but 28 Weeks Later is pretty solid film, too.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
we'll never hear much about it, though.
No, but it's got its moments, though. But 28 Days Later is really the really good one. The eye drip scene. that scene, even you watch it now, it's just like, oh, it'll give you the heebie-jeebies. You know what I'm talking about, Matt.
Heebie-jeebies.
Yeah. You know what scene I'm talking about in the film.
I think so.
It's just like, oh. So, Long's like, I'm scared already. Long does not do well with horror movies.
No, I know.
You can come over and watch it with me, Long.
No.
Yeah, you can rub his leg.
I do like watching a horror movie with a chick.
Okay.
Those are the funnest date movies.
Yes. That's what Jackie said next to him.
No.
Jackie's friend, Adelia.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's
single?
She is.
Oh, hello.
28 days
Hook a brother
later.
Up. No.
Hook a brother
up.
So next week of the show, 28 Days Later. That should be a fun one. And so we got some cool movies coming this month, and Long will survive.
Yes.
As long as he makes it through Elm Street 3, he'll be okay. That's the scary one for Long.
There's a scene in there he might like.
Did you know that the first and only Freddy Krueger movie I watched was Part 2?
Really?
That's the only Freddy Krueger movie I watched from beginning to end, because I was forced to watch it.
Ah.
But then again, I remember watching The Final Nightmare and enjoying that one.
Yeah.
As I got older.
That one was good.
No. So I'm sure it's not as scary as I think it would be.
No. You'll survive.
Yeah. I promise. Okay.
Or you won't.
Or you won't. Oh.
But go to the rebelradiopodcast.com and make sure you check us out. Follow us Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff. And that's it. That's all I got. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long the Scary.
Yep. Until next time, thank you as always for listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. Remember, just go there and do it.
This is Chuck Huber. You're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. Stop being so awesome.